Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuck Gris Show, halfway home on a Wednesday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Watching a little AEW up here. We'll get to Terry Fontenot here in just a couple of minutes. Braves do win today, just watching the replay of the Braves game. And, of course, they win 12-5 today. Take two out of three from the California Angels. And now we know that Max Fried is going to officially be back. It was announced today that he is going to be the originally it was TBA as far as starting pitchers go, but we now know Max Fried is going to be back on Friday night to pitch. And you know, we'll see how he pitches against Dansby Swanson. I'm sure Dansby is looking forward to this series. Like he's, I don't want to say he's looking for some get back, but I mean, you got to figure, you know, Freddie, Dansby, those guys want a little bit of payback because they probably both thought in a lot of ways they would be Braves for life. That they probably thought that, okay, we'll never leave the Atlanta Braves. We'll always be here. And, you know, we're going to spend our whole career here in Atlanta. And, yay, we won the World Series and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, year, 2 years later, it's like, oh, okay, we're gone now. You know, so you know, and the Braves are now the best team in baseball. You know, the Cubs are flubbling around, you know, what the Cubs do. Dodgers are obviously a really good team, but, you know, again, I don't know that they're better than the Braves are right now in the National League, but Braves are certainly the cream of the crop of the National League right now. Probably the cream of the crop in all of Major League Baseball. I think they have the best odds to win the World Series. So, again, it's, you know, bittersweet, but, you know, guys move on. Guys got, you know, Dansby didn't get in the poorhouse. He got, what, $177 million or whatever like that? I mean, can't feel bad for Dansby, you know. Can't feel bad for him, you know, on all that. So, again, it'll be interesting to watch Max Fried back on the hill, and let's hope that he gets things together because, again, I think that was part of the reason why they weren't able to pull the trigger on a starter. It's just they didn't want to give up what they had to give up, thinking that Fried and some other guys are going to be back at it. So we'll see what happens here. But Terry Fontenot had a chance to catch up with our midday guys earlier today. And Andy and Randy started off by asking the first question about what's been the difference between in year three versus year one and two.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I would say it is. And look, you have challenges every season, and you deal with those challenges, and you make the absolute best of it. That's what we love about this team, this program. We make the best of every situation, and this year is unique and different, and we're able to bring in a lot of players this year. And, yeah, we were disciplined. We wanted to bring in the right kind of guys, but when you look out at camp, it's very competitive. You talk about every position, every phase, there's a lot of competitiveness, and it's going to be a hard 53-man roster to make. We're going to have to cut some good football players. And so, but you love the competitiveness is bringing out the best in everyone. Iron sharpens iron like man sharpens man, and we're going to be ready to roll. So it's really exciting.
And the job is the job. I mean, you're a general manager for an NFL football team. Like, that's almost no one gets that job. The pressure is there every single season, no matter what. Is there a different level of pressure this season that you feel, knowing that this roster, like Randy was saying, is so much more of the guys that you and Arthur have brought in since you've been here?
Yeah, pressure is a privilege, and it is. You know, there's always going to be pressure, and you have to bring in guys that want to be in those moments. Like, if you don't have broad shoulders, you better not be a head coach or a GM or a quarterback. There's certain positions that it's not for you if you don't enjoy and embrace the pressure. And we want that kind of pressure. We want to have to make tough decisions about cutting players. And we want there to be pressure because we're our goal is to play 17-plus games and to have a chance whenever you roll out there, whether it's Sunday or Thursday, whenever the game is, that you have every chance to win that game because of the guys in that locker room. So we love and embrace the pressure, and we have players that do as well.
I had a question because I know everybody, it's always about the most current draft class. Talk to me about last year's draft class. Because everybody's like, you didn't draft the DN. Well, they drafted the defense in the second round last year. What is it about how you've seen these guys mature in their second year of training camp?
Yeah, it's really cool because you see so much growth. And, you know, that's a factor when we bring in the veterans we bring in. We want to bring in the right types of veterans because they're a part of that. When you draft players, they're not already made. They have really good developmental traits, and they have good makeups, and we expect them to get the most of their ability. And so that's why we have really good coaches that teach and develop, whether it's in the weight room, whether it's in the film room. We're going to continue to learn, but also it's the other players. So now you have a AK who we drafted in the second round, or D'Angelo Malone who we drafted in the third round. We believe they have really good traits and ability, and they can rush, and yet now you have a Bud Dupree and a Calais Campbell, and you bring in those types of guys, and they can look at them and see, okay, that's how you do it. That's how you really become a pro, because we have coaches coaching them, but it's important to have the players as well. And it doesn't even have to be guys. You look at Drake London, and Drake's done some really good things last year, and then you look at bringing in a guy like Mac, and he's a consummate professional, ultimate pro. My office is right above where the players actually run out to go to practice, and I feel like every time I turn around, Mac's out there doing more work and more drills, but he also brings people with him. Mm-hmm. And so you look at the class and then the players that we have on the roster, they're helping those guys continue to grow, and we're seeing them take that next step.
Taking on any of Mac's diet?
Mac, oh my goodness. So, right, he eats with his hands.
No utensils.
Doesn't wear shoes.
Only meat.
I'm the complete opposite of him, man.
Yeah, you kind of.
I'm the complete opposite.
Yeah, I buy that.
Yeah, we're nothing alike.
Yeah,
but,
he seems a little
but
out
I love
there.
Him.
Yeah, for sure. Now, another guy you guys drafted last year in the third round is a quarterback. Quarterback who's going to be starting week one this year. This is the third year we've done this with you, and we've been talking about a different quarterback every single year.
Yeah.
A year from now, you think we're talking about Desmond Ridder as a starter again?
Yeah, you know, that's you never know what the year is going to bring, but we're very excited about Desmond. And it starts with the player he was at Cincinnati. Nobody believed in him, and nobody – and all he did was won a lot of games at Cincinnati and took that – he was a part of taking that team to the next level. And we saw that right when he got here, the type of teammate he was, the way he works, and we saw a steady improvement over those last four games. We saw him handle adversity. We saw him in critical moments, and we know he has the mindset to continue to grow and improve through the summer and through training camp. So we're very excited about that.
We talk about roles all the time. What's this guy's role going to be on this team, blah, blah, blah. And obviously, you know, you draft a guy so high as Bijan as the running back. I think everybody wants to go automatically go back. Well, what's Tyler? He's 1,000-yard back. What is his role going to be?
Yeah.
How will the roles work out with these two guys? Because, I mean, you can't not take the ball away from Tyler because he's such a good player, but yet Bijan is so dynamic. So I know you don't call the plays, but how do you see their roles together?
Yeah, Tyler, Bijan, CP.
Yes.
But the key with all those guys is they're versatile players, and they can do a lot of different things. And whether we're talking about running the ball at the backfield, catching the ball, moving around in different positions. And you talk about positionless football. You talk about Kyle Pitts and Jonnu. And we believe that we can do a lot of different things with our team. You can be in 22 personnel or 23 personnel and go out there and you're an empty. And the defense has to adjust. And obviously with Arthur Smith and our coaching staff, we have a really smart staff that's going to get the most out of players. So that's the exciting thing about Bijan, because – and there's a lot on his plate right now. Y'all see him out there doing a lot of different things, but he can handle it mentally. He can handle it physically. And wherever you get him the ball, he's going to make plays, much like Tyler, much like CP. So we're excited about it.
Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. And you mentioned a term that gets mentioned sometimes, especially when we talk about this offense, positionless football, right? Like, it's so interesting to talk to folks like you that are in the position to put the team together to try to anticipate where the league is going.
Yep.
Is that the direction that the NFL is headed?
Well, that's our mindset, and different teams do things different ways. Like, some teams do have – they set parameters by position, and they say, okay, this is how much we're going to invest in this position at this time, and we're not going to go outside of this, or we're not going to draft this position at a certain point. Some teams do operate like that. They give themselves rules like that. For us, we have an open mind about everything, and then we say it's who, not what. It's not what position they play, but it's who it is. Are we going to draft a running back eighth overall? We'll draft Bijan Robinson eighth overall. That's what we drafted. We drafted Bijan eighth overall. We didn't draft a running back. And so that's how we see it. And it's about who the person is. Are we going to pay a guard that much money? We'll pay Chris Lindstrom that much money. And so that's how we see it. And do we have a clear vision of how we're going to use them and how they're going to fit here and how they're going to help us be a consistent winner? That's what it's all about for us. But around the league, some teams see it different ways.
It's all about competition, and you know, and sometimes, and I always say this all the time, but sometimes competition at positions, like, okay, it's not really competition for position, but you do have this on your offensive line, young fellow, boys are on second round picks, getting the first team reps. How have you seen him grow into that rep? Because he's still a young player, and I heard he got baptized a couple times by some of the veterans early on. But is he in a position where, you know, was it Wally Pipp or whatever it is, in a situation like, I mean, right, if Henny doesn't come back in time, this young fella could see his name, could hear his name coming out to smoke the first game?
Well, you know what you love about it is the guys come that he's going against right now. So you're going against Grady. You're going against David. I mean, if you can anchor against David, then he's one of the most powerful guys in the NFL. And if you can handle Grady's first step quickness, and you can handle – so he's going against some of the best in the NFL right now, and that's what we love about it. But, again, we talk about mindset. He has that mindset to get in there and work to improve every day, and he's done some good things. He said it, I think it was the first day that David got under his pads and pushed him back a little bit, and that's a real NFL defensive tackle right there, a heavy-handed guy. So we're excited about that, the fact that he can go in there and go against some of the best.
From a health standpoint, I know you can't tell us specifically, but just in general, how's Kyle? We saw Kyle Pitts had the brace off earlier this week. Seems like he's making the progress you guys want. Is that right?
Yeah, he sure is. And we've got to hold him back. And that's where we're always trying to hold him back, because he wants more. He wants to do more, and he wants to go out there and continue to. But we have a clear plan, because you got to be smart about it. And look, we have our coaches. It's a tough camp. And it's hard. We want the practices to be really hard and them to be the games to be easier, and yet we're also smart about the way we operate. So there's a clear plan with Kyle and in how we're going to continue to progress and ease him into it, but he's in a really good spot.
What was your initial thoughts of Arthur's mustache? And are you trying to grow one? Because I had to pull your picture up. Yeah, you had the full goatee, Terry, last time I saw you.
Yeah.
And that ain't looking like the full goatee. So are you going Arthur Smith with the stash?
It's a little longer on top.
Yeah. See, me and Arthur, we're a little different, right? Arthur's just, you know, he's just in your face, and it just kind of – I mean, he didn't prepare. He didn't ease into it. I mean, he just showed up with that thing, and you're like, what's on your face?
That thing.
But
overnight, he grew that?
It just – Ryan Nielsen did the same thing. I don't know if y'all have seen Nielsen.
Yes.
But, you know,
yeah, sure.
A few other coaches on the staff, but I have a little bit different personality. I kind of ease into things a little bit, you know. But this is my dad's look, you know. This is Arthur Blank's look, and you know, my dad's the toughest man I've ever known.
Right.
You know, Arthur Blank, obviously one of the more successful men that I've ever known, and those are two of my mentors. So they're doing things the right way. So I challenge y'all.
Oh,
I
mean,
it's a
way of life. What do you mean?
You like his life. Hey, man, I'm not letting this go.
Now, seriously, I'm looking at you right now, and no joke, you would look like Apollo Creed. And I'm in a good way.
You think I want to look like Action Jackson?
Yeah, I'm Action Jackson, man.
If you think I want to look
around here like you don't even you show up to the show, you don't even need to wear a shirt, man.
You think I want to look
show up?
I mean, they make me wear a shirt because I would do this, you know, like we're back at home with no shirt, but I can't do that. I'm a professional.
It's a way of life, and I got a vision right now in my head that we're going to be rolling this year, and we're going to get rolling. I'm going to come on y'all show maybe late in the season or something, and y'all are going to be it's going to be Chuck Norris and Action Jackson, just like stash is just ready.
We spent a solid 5 minutes last summer you talking about my mustache. I liked it. Randy didn't like it. It made him uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
Hey, before we let you go, just to sort of sum things up here, what if you could define it however you want to define it, what does success look like this year for this team?
It's improvement. It's taking that next step. Look, we're ready to take that next step. What we love about this team is even last year we're in position down the stretch to go to the playoffs and win the division. And I think that says a lot about this culture and the foundation that's been laid. And so we have raised the talent level. And so now it's time to take that next step. And we want to – any game where we line up, we want to have a chance to win that football game. And I believe we have the types of players to do that. So it's just time to take the next step, and we're really excited about it.
John Chuckery, we'll be back. Sports Radio 99 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at it, Chuck Reese Show. Hanging out in the Kia Studios 921. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app so you catch us on the go. I am at JMCH316 on Twitter. He is at TheDLewis4Real on Twitter. Day-Day, did you see this story about what Taylor Swift did for her roadies?
No, I missed that one.
She gave everybody on in all the roadies and everything, she gave them all $100,000 payments for doing such a good job on
her $2 billion tour.
Yeah. look, she handed out. I believe that the number was, when all was said and done, that she handed out over $50 million in bonuses to her entire crew.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, again, she forked out some cash.
But that's gratitude right there.
Absolutely.
Because obviously you, like...
Like, she gave $100,000 a piece to all the truck drivers.
Right. Yeah, like, that's major gratitude. And, I mean, you got to think about it. She realizes these people are spending all that time away from their family.
Right.
And just the work that they're putting in. I mean, touring is not for the faint of heart.
No. And she... I saw the number that said that she was making about $13 million a night in concert. 13, because so let's say, for instance, she played 3 shows here, so that's $40 million.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
it's a good night's work if you can get it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So again, she gave away as much as $50 million, $100,000 a piece to the truck driver. And look, by all accounts, I don't know if you're a fan of Taylor Swift or whatever, but. You know, again, I'm a fan of hers. I think she's a good role model and everything. Says that she gave away $5 million allocated toward her truck drivers who received $100,000 apiece. And then an additional $45 million was divided up among sound techs, caterers, stage hands, backing musicians, dancers, and the like. Look, when you make that kind of money... You know, that's what you do, right?
Yeah.
You take care of people.
Yeah, I was going to say, you almost can't now, when you look hindsight and looking at the ticket prices, you almost kind of got to be like, well, I mean, that's paying it forward something serious.
Right. Yeah. I'm a fan. I mean, I've become even more. I mean, with my daughter listening to her all the time, I've become even a bigger fan of hers. I mean, so I think I'll go. Listen, remember we said hot taking?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll tell you right now, Taylor Swift is the best songwriter in the world.
Really?
I think she's the
best
songwriter.
Does she write her songs?
Oh, yeah.
I don't.
Oh, no. She writes
all
her
songs. I don't
know much
about her music,
so. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, she's got some collaborators that she does some stuff with, but she basically writes all of her own songs.
Okay.
And that's why, while she doesn't have some of her early masters, she has all the publishing to her songs because she's the songwriter on them.
Nice.
But I think she's the best songwriter in the world right now.
Hmm.
Again, I don't know. She's got songs that are in the top 10 that are like 5 and 6 years old.
Right.
Like that Cruel Summer song is in the top 10 right now on the charts, on the Billboard 100, and it's like 5, 6 years old.
Right.
Because she was going to release it before the pandemic, and then, you know, things didn't work out, and now she's released it now, and here we are, you know, like 5 years later, and that song is now a top 10 song or whatever like that. So I think she's the best songwriter in the world right now. That's hot. How about that being hot?
Well, she's definitely the best employer in the world right now.
Yeah. So I give her credit, though. I mean, she is obviously, you know, somebody who, you know, does a lot. Now, how about on the other end of things? I guess, have you seen this story about Lizzo?
That's crazy.
Yeah. So supposedly, you know, she is being sued right now by her dancers and people like that right now. So again, I don't know the whole story about this, but supposedly right now that people are like coming after her because of how she's treated some of her people and things like that. So yeah, it's It's crazy. Now, again, I don't know if all of this is true or not like that, but it does look like that there are people that are suing her, you know, to maybe to get money. I don't know. I mean, that's always, you know, the thing about stuff like this is it's always probably about money. But looks like she's being sued right now for you know, not taking care of some of her people and this, that, and the other. So you hate to hear that, but, you know, again, it sort of is what it is. All right, happy birthday to Wes Craven, obviously one of the great directors as far as horror movies go, Hellraiser among some of the other movies and stuff like that. So tonight's top 10 list, your top 10 favorite horror supernatural type of movies. Day-Day, the floor is yours.
All right, so on my list, speaking of Mr. Wes Craven, the very first, actually, I didn't mind the third one either, but the first Elm Street, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay.
The first Hellraiser movie.
Yeah, the original Hellraiser is great.
Yeah, the first one.
I mean, after they first, I mean, like when they did Hellraiser 2 and like it started just getting ridiculous.
Yeah,
like
it was started going down. Yeah.
I'm not even sure if Wes Craven directed the second Hellraiser movie.
I don't think he did.
Yeah, I don't think he did either.
Saw 1 and 2. I really liked the first two Saws. So I got them as one. Do you remember the movie Creepshow?
Yes. Yes,
Creepshow.
I do. Yes.
So that's one of my favorites. Yeah. When you look at it now, it was kind of goofy in some spots.
There's a lot of those movies that don't hold up.
Right.
Right? Like there's a lot of movies that don't hold up.
But back then for its time, it was kind of cool. The Omen 2, the second one, when Damien was older.
So I have that on my list. Okay. I like The Omen 2 better than the original one.
Yeah.
That was... that was William Holden,
yes,
who was the father, the stepfather, whatever like that. But I agree with you. I think I have The Omen 2 on my list because I thought it was better than The Omen.
Yeah, it definitely was. The original Poltergeist.
Yeah, I've got that on my list as well. That's a tremendous movie. Yeah. I mean, that is a again great 80s movie making. Like again, I keep asking. Why can't they make more of those kinds of movies?
Craig T. Nelson and
like Joe Beth Williams.
Yeah, Joe Beth.
Why can't they make more of those movies? Mm-hmm. Why can't somebody come up with an original idea? Again, it's not like blood and gore like you know like these movies nowadays, like what is it? The Grudge or again, it's not over the top, right?
Right.
It's a psychological thriller without violence and gore, but it's well done. I mean, it's a great story and it's freaky.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you know, when she's, you know, in front of the TV, I mean it's like the whole thing is and again, you know, that whole Poltergeist curse, right? Like half the cast killed themselves.
Yeah, yeah, yep. So now it's funny you said The Grudge because I do have the first Grudge on here.
I've never seen the first movie.
Oh no, the first. I think you would like the first one because it's not an over the top movie like what you're describing.
I mean, there's so many of those movies that you know. I saw the
what was the one with the ring?
Yeah, exactly. Like all those kind of crazy movies. You know, I saw Hereditary. Is it Hereditary? Yeah, Hereditary. You know, that's an over the top movie.
Okay.
They celebrate the pagan god and the whole movie gets to be ridiculous after a while.
Do yourself a favor. I think you'll if you like Michelle, especially if you like Michelle Geller, you'll like The Grudge. All right. Another old the rest of these are all old. The Thing. What's my guy's name? John Carpenter. Yeah, with Kurt Russell.
Yeah, that's a great movie. Yeah.
Children of the Corn. Remember that one?
That was a. By the way, The Thing I think was a remake of a different. It was because that was on in a snow like
Antarctica type place.
Yeah.
Yes,
but I think The Thing is I think that version of The Thing is a remake. It wasn't in the same setting,
right?
But The Thing is a movie is a remake. I believe.
All right, Children of the Corn.
Mm.
And then I don't know if you ever heard or saw this one, but it was called Sleepaway Camp.
No.
And it was it's kind of along the lines of you know, kids at a camp and there's a killer and you know, it was like a late very early 80s movie.
Yeah, the one that I saw was not you know, a horror movie. It was it's more for adults on something like that. But anyway, it was more like on Cinemax.
Gotcha.
Anyway. All right. I've got Poltergeist on my list as well. As I said, I've got The Omen, too, because I think the second Omen is better than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Hellraiser is on my list as well. I do, now it's a goofy movie. I mean, it's ridiculous now when you watch it, but I like the ridiculousness of it. I do like the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's over the top ridiculous, but like when he hits that guy in the head and the guy's just like squirming around on the floor, or when they try to get Grandpa to bite her finger and all, again, it's the whole thing is ridiculous, and he's out there waving his chainsaw around at the end of the movie. Like, why didn't somebody just run him down?
Right.
Like, again, anyway. But
I've seen that house, actually. It's in Austin, Texas. Yeah,
okay.
Because my in-laws live in Texas, so I've seen that
Were
house.
They slaughtering meat or whatever? Jaws. I mean, the original Jaws.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great movie. I mean, again, you know, and that movie became better because... So the thing that they always praise is the fact that they never showed the shark, right? They never really showed you the shark until later on in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of that is because, and the guy, the shark's name was Bruce. That was the robot shark. But the reason for that is because it didn't work.
Right.
They couldn't get it to work. Spielberg could not get that thing to work. So the whole reason that they did not show you the shark is because it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be, you know, the key to the movie is that you never really saw
the shark
until later on in the movie, you know, when he was really going after that last boat and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so.
And remember real quick when we talked about theme parks and I said the Universal Studios in California,
because they have that there. Yes,
so,
they do that whole crazy thing where it jumps out of the water or whatever like that. But again, it's a robot.
Right.
So. You know, I George Romero's Night of the Living Dead, and I like it because it's a black and white movie. It's very simplistic. It's not over the top. It's gory without being real gory.
Right.
You do have zombies that are eating people, and it's well done. And it's for its time. It's a well done movie. Like it still holds up. I think it holds up. It's not too over the top,
right?
But it is scary. It is freaky to watch that movie. Silence of the Lambs, again, I think that look, her performance isn't all that great. Hannibal Lecter is a little bit over the top, but there is enough good parts of that movie.
Yes.
Again, I still think Buffalo Bill's the best of that movie. You know.
Yeah.
Precious, where are you? Hey, you don't know pain. Anyway. And then my two favorites. Also Interview with the Vampire.
Oh,
we talked about that.
Yeah, talked about
Tom
that
Cruise.
Night,
you know, underrated movie. That's a really good flick.
It is.
I think it's a really good flick. And then my favorite two of all time. Number two is The Exorcist, the original Exorcist. Now again, they started getting umpteen Exorcists, and it was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That book that originally was done, and the movie to it is one of the scariest movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, that what was her Blair? What's the girl's name?
The girl is Linda Blair.
Linda Blair,
and she was magnificent in that movie.
Yeah,
but that's one of the freakiest movies I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, that original one, is really freaky.
Well, it hadn't really been done.
Yeah,
you really hadn't seen anything
prior
to that.
I love the fact that it really builds up to when it gets really scary. Like there's little bits and pieces, and the movie just kind of goes along. Then all of a sudden, it starts taking off like a rocket ship. And then listen, it's simplistic, but I still think it's the best horror movie ever done. It's Halloween, the original Halloween.
Yeah.
They shot it on a shoestring budget.
Mm-hmm.
They only had like $6 to spend. I mean, that's why they had to get the William Shatner mask and paint it white and all that. Again, they had no money.
Right.
And they shot it like they had no money. But again, it's so freaky and it's so good. And again, the character is, you know, again, he becomes over the top.
Right.
But in that movie, you can buy into that.
Yep.
Like, you can buy into it, and it's gory without over the top.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's freaky, and there's people that get killed, but it's not over the top with the gore and all that kind of
stuff.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, All right, hit us up with your list as well. When we get back, Dan Gartland joined us earlier in the show. Talk some baseball, talk some SummerSlam. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio at 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, Braves did make at least one move here before the deadline, and of course they made a couple of bullpen moves, but right at the deadline made a move for Brad Hand, but did not pull the trigger on a starter. So let's head up to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to Dan Gartland. He covers Major League Baseball for Sports Illustrated. Also covers wrestling for the publication as well. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, @Dan_Gartland. Dan, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining me here in Atlanta for a few minutes this evening.
Yeah, of course. Sure thing.
You know, were you a little bit surprised that the Braves weren't able to pull a move for another starting pitcher? We saw the bullpen pieces, but were you a little bit surprised that they couldn't make a move for a starter?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot of competition, right? So, and certainly two of the tough pitchers available were playing for the rival Mets, and the Mets are probably not going to deal with the Braves and give up give up one of their better players to them. But no, I think, and they have a decent rotation. It's not a team with a lot of holes, so. You know, they strengthened up that bullpen with Brad Hand, and I think they must feel that they're okay with that.
You know, I did think it was interesting. I read somewhere about the idea that, you know, the Braves farm system isn't what it once was a few years ago, and part of that is because you've had Strider and Michael Harris and Bryce Elder, guys that are coming up and performing at a high level that maybe, and this is, you know, again, this is a good problem to have, but maybe because there's been so many guys that have come up and succeeded that the farm system isn't as deep, and maybe the Braves didn't have as much to offer some other teams.
Yeah, and they've also made a lot of trades in the past, right, for guys like Sean Murphy and Matt Olson. And so, you know, those trades take prospects off the board. And so, you know, you make those moves back then, you don't have the same kind of resources to offer up this time around. But, again, I think, you know, they're in their best record in the majors, right? So they're in a good spot.
Yeah, and Dan, do you look at a team like this as they're the best team in baseball right now?
I think, yeah. I mean, pretty undisputedly, right? There's certainly in the National League, not a lot of competition. I think there's some good teams in the AL, especially, you know, maybe the Blue Jays and the Orioles don't have the same number of wins as the Braves do, but that's because the Blue Jays and Orioles are in a really tough AL East, and they're all beating up on each other, right? So. You know, they're up there, but, you know, and the tough thing is they might finish, you know, with 10 or 12 wins more than any other team in the league this year, but then it's that crapshoot in the playoffs and they have to see what happens then.
Dan Gartland, joining me on the WadeFord.com hotline, baseball writer for SI.com. Look, we joke about it. Like I'll say right out, I hate the Mets. Okay. I truly hate the New York Mets. I hate the Red Sox. I hate the Mets. That's two teams that I will root for their demise every time. I do think it's funny that you got 16 starts out of, not you personally, but the Mets got 16 starts out of Justin Verlander and are going to pay about $50 million for him to walk away. This has been a disaster, and I will contend that might have been the worst contract in baseball history. Maybe not all Verlander's fault, but certainly with the injuries and things and not getting a lot out of them, this is a disaster all the way around for the New York Mets. I don't know if there's any other way to spin it with their, you know, with this, with the contracts that they gave out this year.
Well, so my dad's a Mets fan, so I'm sure he'll like to hear that. But No, but I think, you know, Verlander, you know, that's a risky run when you sign a pitcher who's on the wrong side of 40. But I think, like, if they're playing a different sport because Steve Cohen has more money than any owner in baseball, right? So what's a bad contract to him is not the same as what's a bad contract to Liberty Media with the Braves or the Steinbrenners or whatever. So, you know, I think Cohen, you know, if the Mets weren't as rich as they are, then Cohen might have been more content to sit on Verlander and, you know, and not trade him. But I think just because they got rid of him, got some value out of him in what's a lost season for the team for reasons beyond the Verlander and Scherzer deals, right? I mean, there's the Mets have a lot of problems. Their rookies have really not lived up to expectations, and so that's one of the problems that's got them in the position they're in right now. And the bullpen with Diaz going down during the World Baseball Classic, right? They've got issues that run deeper than just those two big pitcher contracts. But again, Cohen being having the money that he does was able to trade those guys away and get better return for them because you know he's one of the only guys who's willing to offer them the kind of money that they got. And so when you're trying to trade into another team, those teams don't have the appetite to pay them those high salaries. So Cohen was able to say, "Hey, I'll offload some of that money, offset it, and you know, and you give me a better prospect in return, and in exchange, I'll foot the bill for his salary." So I think Cohen, you know, made the best out of what was a really bad situation.
Dan, are the Baltimore Orioles the best story in baseball this year? I mean, they're not dynamic, they're not flashy, but boy, I mean, they have won a crap ton of games. And, you know, you, to your point, that's such a good division. 66-41 in that division is 66-41 in that division. I give them all the credit in the world. And, you know, again, we've looked at some of their young talent, but I don't think anybody saw this coming out of Baltimore.
Yeah, and they have a problem, not a problem, but one of the, you know, maybe the one new area where they're weak is in the starting rotation. And so they did make a move for Jack Flaherty from the Cardinals, and that'll be, you know, that should help them down the stretch here. But that's, you know, I talked about the Mets having their rookies not live up to expectations. It's the opposite with the Orioles, you know, not Adley Rutschman, not a rookie, but a young guy. He's been playing great, and they have also the what's the other guy's name? They had Jordan Westberg. They just brought up a couple others. Like they're, and the bullpen is fantastic. They've got some like Felix Bautista is a fireballer. Like he's probably the most dominant reliever in all the majors right now. And they're if they can keep it up, I mean, you know, again, tough division, but if they can keep it up, they might go far.
You know, Dan, we just saw the Angels here, and by the way, I call them the California Angels because I'm an old guy, and sure. I, you know, was Gene Autry was running the, you know, owned the team, and I call them the California Angels. So, but it's another year where, you know, now the Angels, after losing, now they're in fourth place. You know, they were, you know, playing pretty well, but still three games over 500, but now in fourth place, they're six games back. You know, it's a year where Trout is hurt again. You know, why would Shohei Ohtani, even though they love him and there's money to be had with all the endorsements, stuff like that, but why would Ohtani, from a baseball perspective, continue to stay with the Los Angeles Angels and decide to re-up with them? I mean, at some point, isn't it about winning? I mean, you can make your money, but isn't it some point about winning?
Yeah, I don't really think he will stay. It's the winning thing, which he has. You know, he doesn't, obviously with the language barrier, he's not really speaking to the media all that often. And when he does, it's through an interpreter. It's not very in-depth, but there are some comments that he made in the past about wanting to win, and credit to the Angels for trying to do that. But, you know, I think it's a combination of the money and the winning, and the Angels don't really, you know, they don't have a history of offering. I mean, they've offered, you know, bigger contracts to guys like Albert Pujols and Anthony Rendon in the past, but I don't know how willing Artie Moreno is to open up his wallet and give Ohtani the kind of money that a team like the Dodgers will. I think the Dodgers are the favorite because they have that winning pedigree. They have, you know, a ton of money and nice for Ohtani if he doesn't have to move, right? So I think, you know, it's credit to them credit to the Angels for, you know, making moves at the deadline here to, even though their playoff chances are slipping and are not great to begin with, you know, give them credit for at least making the push in what looks like it's going to be Ohtani's last year.
So, all right, let's switch gears here completely. So, SummerSlam, you know, on paper, this doesn't look like a great card. But, you know, here's the thing about the WWE that I can say this year. I give them the benefit of the doubt because their pay-per-views have been outstanding this year, starting with Royal Rumble and going through the Puerto Rico show and, you know, everything else, WrestleMania. I really, for the first time in a long time, even though that this doesn't look like a great card on paper, I give them the benefit of the doubt because they've delivered this year on pay-per-views, and I'm not expecting anything less come Saturday when SummerSlam rolls around. There's going to be some surprises, and there's going to be some things we don't expect because it's been that kind of year for WWE.
Yeah, I think, you know, give a lot of credit to Triple H as the new head of creative there. He's really turned things around in a way that you know, Vince McMahon had a kind of, you know, inconsistent booking strategy, and Triple H seems to be a guy who's less, you know, less liable to play on his whims, and he's got more of a consistent plan going. And I think, you know, obviously, like, WWE, they, you know, like, go back and forth whether you prefer them or AEW, but there's, in terms of storytelling, but there's no denying that, like, WWE has top-notch in-ring talent, and so you're going to get, you know, like, Ricochet is, like, one of the most athletic guys you'll ever see on your TV screen in any capacity, and he's got a match against Logan Paul, and Logan Paul is a guy who, even at the part-timer, as a guy who's mainly famous for YouTube, he's really embraced being a wrestler, and he's really taken it seriously, and every time he's been on screen, he delivers, and he knows how to get the crowd to boo him, and he's got some really great, surprisingly great athleticism. I think that'll be a match that, you know, people maybe aren't looking at to steal the show, but I think that's, you know, that's one that I'd be watching for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously Royal Rumble, they do that crazy spot, you know, that, right, where they jump across the ring at one another. I mean, for what it's going to be, I think it's going to be a really fun match because, to your point, and I'll give the WWE credit for this, and I think even more than AEW, when they bring people in, whether it's Bad Bunny or whether it's a Logan Paul, those guys buy into it. Like, they buy into what the WWE is, and it's not just some goofy gimmick spot or whatever like that. They really do take this thing seriously, and you see that they work hard at this, and they work hard to try to be good at what they're doing out there.
Yeah, it's a long way from Snooki. I think that was WrestleMania. You know, they get people who are there. You know, they want to be there. They take it seriously. They're fans first and foremost, and that's, you know, that helps when you get somebody who knows the deal beforehand, and they can really get in there and show the fans what they want.
You know, Dan. And I've had Tony Khan on the show, and I've had a chance to talk to him, and he's a great guy, and I do like the promotion. But, boy, at times it is just – it's hard to watch the booking on some of those shows for AEW. I mean, I scratch my head, and, you know, you talk about the in-ring talent. I mean, look, you know, the Saturday show for Collision has looked like a completely different show than Dynamite, and I think we kind of thought that with FTR and CM Punk and some of those guys were going to be featured on that show, but boy, it really is dramatic when you watch Collision just in the presentation of that show versus even AEW Dynamite, which is their flagship show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly in their history, their freak history, they've done a good job at differentiating their different products, which can be tough. I think the thing with them is they do have, you know, it happens with WWE too. They go through hot streaks and cold streaks with their storytelling and their booking. The problem for AEW is they're the new kid on the block, and so every time there's a cold streak, it's kind of, you know, it kind of amplifies things, and they draw a little more criticism than you might expect. But you know, they give them credit for trying to do the Saturday show. I haven't been able to watch that so much because I got plans on Saturday night. I'm not the only one. I think people are not usually sitting down to watch wrestling on a Saturday night, but hopefully they're going to make it work.
Last question for you. Do you still think the plan is at some point for Cody to beat Roman Reigns and take the belt? I still go back to WrestleMania. I still think it was a mistake having Cody lose to Roman Reigns. And again, you could have still done a lot of this story even without Roman Reigns having the title, especially because, again, Jey Uso is not beating Roman Reigns. I mean, with all due respect, even Triple H and Vince McMahon are not going to put the belt on the WWE title, the Universal title. They're not going to put it on Jey Uso. So if that's not going to happen, is it going to be Cody at some point that maybe next year at WrestleMania that he finally breaks through in this whole thing?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I was in the minority and I thought that.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, Braves did make at least one move here before the deadline, and of course they made a couple of bullpen moves, but right at the deadline made a move for Brad Hand, but did not pull the trigger on a starter. So let's head up to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to Dan Gartland. He covers Major League Baseball for Sports Illustrated. Also covers wrestling for the publication as well. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Dan_Gartland. Dan, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining me here in Atlanta for a few minutes this evening.
Yeah, of course. Sure thing.
You know, were you a little bit surprised that the Braves weren't able to pull a move for another starting pitcher? We saw the bullpen pieces, but were you a little bit surprised that they couldn't make a move for a starter?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot of competition, right? So, and certainly two of the tough pitchers available were playing for the rival Mets, and the Mets are probably not going to deal with the Braves and give up give up one of their better players to them. But no, I think, and they have a decent rotation. It's not a team with a lot of holes, so. You know, they strengthened up that bullpen with Brad Hand, and I think they must feel that they're okay with that.
You know, I did think it was interesting. I read somewhere about the idea that, you know, the Braves farm system isn't what it once was a few years ago. And part of that is because you've had Strider and Michael Harris and Bryce Elder, guys that are coming up and performing at a high level that maybe, and this is, you know, again, this is a good problem to have, but maybe because there's been so many guys that have come up and succeeded that the farm system isn't as deep, and maybe the Braves didn't have as much to offer some other teams.
Yeah, and they've also made a lot of trades in the past, right, for guys like Sean Murphy and Matt Olson. And so, you know, those trades take prospects off the board. And so, you know, you make those moves back then, you don't have the same kind of resources to offer up this time around. But, again, I think, you know, they're in their best record in the majors, right? So they're in a good spot.
Yeah, and Dan, do you look at a team like this as they're the best team in baseball right now?
I think, yeah, I mean, pretty undisputedly, right? There's certainly in the National League, not a lot of competition. I think there's some good teams in the AL, especially, you know, maybe the Blue Jays and the Orioles don't have the same number of wins as the Braves do, but that's because the Blue Jays and Orioles are in a really tough AL East and they're all beating up on each other, right? So, you know, they're up there, but you know, and the tough thing is they might finish, you know, with 10 or 12 wins more than any other team in the league this year. But then it's that crapshoot in the playoffs, and they have to see what happens then.
Dan Gartland joining me on the WaitForIt.com hotline, baseball writer for SI.com. Look, we joke about it. Like, I'll say right out, I hate the Mets, okay? I truly hate the New York Mets. I hate the Red Sox. I hate the Mets. That's two teams that I will root for their demise every time. I do think it's funny that you got 16 starts out of, not you personally, but the Mets got 16 starts out of Justin Verlander and are going to pay about $50 million for him to walk away. This has been a disaster, and I will contend that might have been the worst contract in baseball history. Maybe not all Verlander's fault, but certainly with the injuries and things and not getting a lot out of him, this is a disaster all the way around for the New York Mets. I don't know if there's any other way to spin it with their, you know, with this, with the contracts that they gave out this year.
Well, so my dad's a Mets fan, so I'm sure he'll like to hear that. But no, but I think, you know, Verlander, you know, that's a risky run when you sign a pitcher who's on the wrong side of 40. But I think, like, if they're playing a different sport because Steve Cohen has more money than any owner in baseball, right? So what's a bad contract to him is not the same as what's a bad contract to Liberty Media with the Braves or the Steinbrenners or whatever. So, you know, I think Cohen, you know, if he had, you know, if the Mets weren't as rich as they are, then Cohen might have been more content to sit on Verlander and, you know, and not trade him. But I think just because they got rid of him, got some value out of him in what's a lost season for the team for reasons beyond the Verlander and Scherzer deals, right? I mean, there's the Mets have a lot of problems. Their rookies have really not lived up to expectations. And so that's one of the problems that's got them in the position they're in right now. And the bullpen with Diaz going down during the World Baseball Classic, right? They've got issues that run deeper than just those two big pitcher contracts. But again, Cohen being, you're having the money that he does, was able to trade those guys away and get better return for them because, you know, he's one of the only guys who's willing to offer them the kind of money that they got. And so when you're trying to trade into another team, those teams don't have the appetite to pay them those high salaries. So Cohen was able to say, "Hey, I'll offload some of that money, offset it, and you know, and you give me a better prospect in return, and in exchange, I'll foot the bill for his salary." So I think Cohen, you know, made the best out of what was a really bad situation.
Dan, are the Baltimore Orioles the best story in baseball this year? I mean, they're not dynamic, they're not flashy, but boy, I mean, they have won a crap ton of games. And, you know, you, to your point, that's such a good division. 66-41 in that division is 66-41 in that division. I give them all the credit in the world. And, you know, again, we've looked at some of their young talent, but I don't think anybody saw this coming out of Baltimore.
Yeah, and they have a problem, not a problem, but one of the, you know, maybe the one new area where they're weak is in the starting rotation, and so they did make a move for Jack Flaherty from the Cardinals, and that'll be, you know, that should help them down the stretch here. But that's, you know, I talked about the Mets having their rookies not live up to expectations. It's the opposite with the Orioles. You know, not Adley Rutschman, not a rookie, but a young guy. He's been playing great, and they have also the what's the other guy's name? They had Jordan Westberg. They just brought up a couple others. Like they're, and the bullpen is fantastic. They've got some like Felix Bautista is the fireballer. Like, I don't, he's probably the most dominant reliever in all the majors right now. And they're if they can keep it up, I mean, you know, again, tough division, but if they can keep it up, they're they might go far.
You know, Dan, we just saw the Angels here, and by the way, I call them the California Angels because I'm not. I'm an old guy, and sure. I, you know, was Gene Autry was running the, you know, owned the team, and we, I call him the California Angels. So, but it's another year where, you know, now the Angels, after losing, now they're in fourth place. You know, they were, you know, playing pretty well, but still three games over 500, but now in fourth place, they're six games back. You know, it's a year where Trout is hurt again. You know, why would Shohei Ohtani, even though they love him and there's money to be had with all the endorsements, stuff like that, but why would Ohtani, from a baseball perspective, continue to stay with the Los Angeles Angels and decide to re-up with them? I mean, at some point, isn't it about winning? I mean, you can make your money, but isn't it some point about winning?
Yeah, I don't really think he will stay. It's the winning thing, which he has. You know, he doesn't, obviously with the language barrier, he's not really speaking to the media all that often, and when he does, it's through an interpreter. It's not very in-depth, but there are some comments that he made in the past about wanting to win, and credit to the Angels for trying to do that. But, you know, I think it's a combination of the money and the winning, and the Angels don't really, you know, they don't have a history of offering. I mean, they've offered, you know, bigger contracts to guys like Albert Pujols and Anthony Rendon in the past, but I don't know how willing Artie Moreno is to open up his wallet and give Ohtani the kind of money that a team like the Dodgers will. I think the Dodgers are the favorite because they have that winning pedigree. They have, you know, a ton of money and nice for Ohtani if he doesn't have to move, right? So I think, you know, it's credit to them for – credit to the Angels for, you know, making moves at the deadline here to – even though their playoff chances are slipping and are not great to begin with, you know, give them credit for – at least making the push in what looks like it's going to be Ohtani's last year.
So, all right, let's switch gears here completely. So, SummerSlam, you know, on paper, this doesn't look like a great card. But, you know, here's the thing about the WWE that I can say this year. I give them the benefit of the doubt because their pay-per-views have been outstanding this year, starting with Royal Rumble and going through the Puerto Rico show and – you know, everything else, WrestleMania. I really, for the first time in a long time, even though that this doesn't look like a great card on paper, I give them the benefit of the doubt because they've delivered this year on pay-per-views, and I'm not expecting anything less come Saturday when SummerSlam rolls around. There's going to be some surprises, and there's going to be some things we don't expect because it's been that kind of year for WWE.
Yeah, I think, you know, give a lot of credit to Triple H as the new head of creative there. He's really turned things around in a way that you know, Vince McMahon had a kind of, you know, inconsistent booking strategy. And Triple H seems to be a guy who's less, you know, less liable to play on his whims. And he's got more of a consistent plan going. And I think, you know, obviously, like, WWE, they, you know, like, go back and forth whether you prefer them or AEW, but there's, in terms of storytelling, but there's no denying that, like, WWE has top-notch in-ring talent, and so you're going to get, you know, like, Ricochet is, like, one of the most athletic guys you'll ever see on your TV screen in any capacity, and he's got a match against Logan Paul, and Logan Paul is a guy who, even as a part-timer, as a guy who's mainly famous for YouTube, he's really embraced being a wrestler, and he's really taken it seriously, and every time he's been on screen, he delivers, and he knows how to get the crowd to boo him, and he's got some really great, surprisingly great athleticism. I think that'll be a match that, you know, people maybe aren't looking at to steal the show, but I think that's, you know, that's one that I'd be watching for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously Royal Rumble, they do that crazy spot, you know, that, right, where they jump across the ring at one another. I mean, for what it's going to be, I think it's going to be a really fun match because, to your point, and I'll give the WWE credit for this, and I think even more than AEW, when they bring people in, whether it's Bad Bunny or whether it's a Logan Paul, those guys buy into it. Like, they buy into what the WWE is. And it's not just some goofy gimmick spot or whatever like that. They really do take this thing seriously. And you see that they work hard at this. And they work hard to try to be good at what they're doing out there.
Yeah, it's a long way from Snooki. I think that was WrestleMania. You know, they get people who are there. You know, they want to be there. They take it seriously. They're fans first and foremost, and that's, you know, that helps when you get somebody who knows the deal beforehand, and they can really get in there and show the fans what they want.
You know, Dan, I've had Tony Khan on the show, and I've had a chance to talk to him, and he's a great guy, and I do like the promotion. But, boy, at times it is just – it's hard to watch the booking on some of those shows for AEW. I mean, I scratch my head and, you know, you talk about the in-ring talent. I mean, look, you know, the Saturday show for Collision has looked like a completely different show than Dynamite. And I think we kind of thought that with FTR and CM Punk and some of those guys were going to be featured on that show. But, boy, it really is dramatic when you watch Collision just in the presentation of that show versus even AEW Dynamite, which is their flagship show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly in their history, their brief history, they've done a good job at differentiating their different products, which can be tough. I think the thing with them is they do have, you know, it happens with WWE, too. They go through hot streaks and cold streaks with their storytelling and their booking. The problem for AEW is they're the new kid on the block, and so every time there's a cold streak, it's kind of, you know, it kind of amplifies things, and they draw a little more criticism than you might expect. But you know, they give them credit for trying to do the Saturday show. I know that I haven't been able to watch that so much because I got plans on Saturday night. I'm not the only one. I think people are not usually sitting down to watch wrestling on a Saturday night, but hopefully they're gonna make it work.
Last question for you. Do you still think the plan is at some point for Cody to beat Roman Reigns and take the belt? I still go back to WrestleMania. I still think it was a mistake having Cody lose to Roman Reigns. And again, you could have still done a lot of this story even without Roman Reigns having the title, especially because, again, Jey Uso is not beating Roman Reigns. I mean, with all due respect, even Triple H and Vince McMahon are not going to put the belt on the WWE title, the Universal title. They're not going to put it on Jey Uso. So if that's not going to happen, is it going to be Cody at some point that maybe next year at WrestleMania that he finally breaks through in this whole thing?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I was in the minority and I thought that Roman should have won that match at WrestleMania because I think one thing that, even if you guys, you know, even if it's not that you say that he should have, that I think he was going to, because one thing to remember is that WWE, they love their own history, and Roman was approaching that 1,000-day milestone as champion, and you know they really want to, you know, you better believe they were gonna push that angle. And you know, and the other thing about that is, you had Roman kind of becoming stale to an extent as the champion, but then by introducing now the second title belt on Raw, you kind of add new flavor to all your to Raw especially, right? Raw was lacking without that, the presence of the champion there. So then you add the belt, the new belt that's held by Seth Rollins now, and that adds a little bit more, you know, color to the show. It really makes the whole show come together a lot better. And for Cody, you know, he had just come back not that long ago from that long injury layoff after he had that torn pec where he wrestled that match at Hell in a Cell with the torn pec, which was like, I mean, that's a match, you know, give the belt to the guy right there, right after that torn pec. But he had just come back from that, and I think it would have felt a little bit rushed to then immediately hand him the belt. And I think now he gets to prove to people a little bit more why he deserves to be champion.
Well, I definitely think he's going to beat Brock because, again, it would not make sense for him to lose to Brock if you're trying to build some storyline to it. So that's
right.
That's the other part of it, this too. So you can follow him on his personal Twitter page, @Dan_Gartland. Baseball writer, wrestling writer for SI.com, and he joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Dan, really appreciate the time. Thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta. We'll chat again soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
You got it. When we come back from the top of the hour, we'll be...
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.